of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, entitled Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, which has been so illustriously compiled and written by His Holiness.
One beautiful story that is to be found in the words of Shukadeva Goswami from Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, when he was just a little boy, small boy, little child, he was given charge of taking out calves in Vrindavan, where he was living, with his friends. They would go into the pasture ground every day,
creep all around and make a little room or a little house underground with all sorts of ventilation systems with filters to get air down there, and then hundreds of days of stored food, canned food that will just last for so many years, and different water devices stored. In this way, people were thinking any day the bombs will drop. And Russia was threatening to drop those
gases in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. Similarly, at the time of death, the soul enters in.
Know about Putana? The middle brother was Bakasura, and the younger brother was Agasura. Putana was 12 miles long. Agasura was only 8. He was little brother. So he came in the form of a snake, big snake, huge snake, and he opened his mouth and it went from the ground to the sky. Now you may think, impossible, I've gone to the zoo and I've seen some snakes, but not like that. But we have to understand that through mystic powers we can manipulate energy to do so many wonderful things.
What is this misconception?
It's the only way that people in the world could find peace. His conviction was very strong. We are reading from February of 1956. It's very illuminating how Srila Satsvarupa Maharaj is describing the situation of the world at the time when Srila Prabhupada was struggling to perform his service of printing back to Godhead. It was a time of not even citizens, only slaves. And sometimes people would trade their slaves. I have this person you can use, you have that person I could use, and they would trade. Just like people trade horses or oxen. They had no more rights, less rights, than the oxen has in India today. Oxen can walk around the streets, they could not walk around the streets. They couldn't leave the property of their master. It was terribly cruel. So due to years and years, generations of misuse, and gradually the population of these slaves, this was a common thing. They would be on the battlefield and they would be face to face with guns with their best friends, and one or the other had to kill the other. So it was a terrible war. And for the first large section, the southern states were winning. But ultimately, there's actually the most historic places in America, relatively, are the battlefields of the Civil War. All over America, there's famous battlefields. Gettysburg, Bull's Run, and pilgrims, not pilgrims, but tourists, they come to. So there was so much turmoil, so much violence in the cities. Black killings white. Whites killing blacks. It's still like that in every city of America. Still, to this day, if a white man goes into a black neighborhood at night, 99% you'll be beaten, robbed, or killed. Even today. And what to speak of the 1950s, when they didn't even have proper laws to give them rights yet. They just had basic laws. So the country was being torn apart. It was a fever of so much violence and so much anxiety.
The yatra by Maharaj Indrajumna in the Satya Yuga, millions of years ago. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to Vedas, is Yuga Avatar. He is Krishna himself who has descended into this world to teach the most simple and beneficial process of religion for this age of Kali. The most wonderful, astonishing experience was perceived by the devotees in Jagannath Puri. Lord Jagannath was in the temple giving his mercy to whoever came. And that same identical Lord Jagannath, who has a blackish complexion, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, he was appearing as his own devotee with a complexion like molten gold. Krishna was dancing in front of Krishna. Krishna is worshipping Krishna. In the temple in Puri, there are certain traditional restrictions. People who are born from lower castes are forbidden to enter into the temple. There was one such devotee. His name, Srila Haridas Thakur. He was born in an outcast family. And therefore, he was forbidden to enter into Jagannath's temple. But Srila Haridas Thakur had complete faith in the holy name of Krishna. The Yuga Dharma in this age of Kali is the chanting of the holy names. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way except through the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. Haridas Thakur had complete faith that the name of God is none different than God Himself. Therefore, he vowed to chant at least 300,000 names of Krishna every day before taking rest, before even eating food. Some of us are chanting on mala 16 rounds per day. Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds every day with such faith. How was he able to do so? Because he was so humble. One time when he was praying to Lord Chaitanya, he was explaining that, "My Lord, you are offering me any benediction in the entire creation. You will give me anything I want." He said that, "I am lower and more fallen than an insignificant insect. That anyone who sees me becomes contaminated. I am born from a lower birth and my characteristic is sinful and cruel. But yet I desire recognition and fame. This is my insanity. If you want to give me a benediction, in every birth I may take, let me be an insect or a dog where I get the remnants of the food of your devotees. Let me always be in the association of your devotees to serve them." New York Police Department closed Fifth Avenue from all traffic, so that Srila Prabhupada and his devotees
could carry Jagannath through the heart of the city, and millions of people received the mercy. The ultimate success story from the spiritual point of view. My very beloved godbrother, Shamsundar Prabhu, is here today. He doesn't want to speak because he's so humble. But I'd like to say something. This transcendentally blessed personality carved the first deities of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra ever to be seen in the Western world outside of India. His wife, Malati, found some little tiny, like toy Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. Srila Prabhupada called Shamsundar, "Can you make big size?" He showed him exactly with his hand what size they should be, explained in great detail, and Shamsundar Prabhu spent weeks and weeks and weeks carving. That was Jagannath's first appearance in America. By the vision and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and they manifested through the hands of his devotee. In fact, Shamsundar today told me that he was the first person to ever pull Lord Jagannath in the Western world. The first Ratha Yatra was on a truck, and Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra were on the back of the truck. He was the driver. He was the only person who pulled Jagannath during the first Ratha Yatra outside of Puri. Nobody else, only him. He told me another story. How his experience set the standard for the incredible technology we see in Ratha Yatra today. He told me that Srila Prabhupada, he would give his orders for Ratha Yatra just a week or so before the parade. So they made a chariot. And they made it quick. It was a nice chariot with a dome on top. And they were going down the streets. And then there was some electrical power lines going across the street. They forgot about that. But it's the middle of the procession. What to do? So Shamsundar Prabhu, being as divinely intelligent as he is, he climbed up to the top of the cart and he sawed off the dome with a saw. There was no other way. And I guess after they passed the electrical wire, perhaps he put it back on. And by seeing him, devotees thought, we have to make some special adjustment. Now, By his lesson, we have collapsible canopies on Jagannath's carts. In Jagannath Puri, they will never ever put an electrical line across the road, because that road is Jagannath's road. But we cannot expect every city in the world to be so holy as that. However, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, every city in the world is becoming as holy as that. The greatest lack in this world is compassion. People think that we will solve the problems in this world by family planning, population reduction, or by raising the standard of living, or by cleaning the ecology. One time I was with Prem Leela Mataji in an airport in New Delhi, and there were other devotees there also, some brahmacharis. And the minister for ecology
happened to be in the airport. So I was introduced. And she challenged. She said to me, "What are you Hare Krishna people doing for the ecological environment of the world? There's so much pollution of water, pollution of air, pollution of the land. What are you doing to help the environment? You're just chanting and giving out these books. But the world is coming to an end." So I replied. I said, "Why is the water, the air, and the earth so polluted?" "Because the hearts of man is polluted. Because we have greed, because we have envy, because we have lust, because we have anger and pride. These pollutions within our heart are pushing us to pollute everything around us. One who has a pure heart purifies the entire environment by that person's words, actions, and thoughts." The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the sublime process to clean the ecology of the heart. Unless the heart's ecology is purified, you can never stop man from polluting the world. What will you do? You will clean up the ocean and they'll put more garbage and poison in the ocean. You'll clean the air and they'll put more poison in. We should work together. You clean the external elements and let our movement strive to clean the internal ecology of people's hearts. And I explained to her, it's a simple process. By sincerely chanting the holy names, we become purified. We can make the world into Vaikuntha. The problem in this world is because of the dirt in people's hearts, there is very little real compassion. People are selfish. People are egoistic. A saintly person is humble and is eager to serve every living being and bring them closer to God. They are paradukaduki. Their greatest suffering is to see the suffering of others. Therefore, the holy scriptures declare that the most compassionate, merciful person in all the world is one who gives the charity of bhakti. You can feed your belly, you could feed your body, you could feed your ego, but unless you have love of God, your heart is starving. Only love of God can give pleasure, fulfillment to the heart. And that love is so available to everyone. Kalera dosani de rajan astihe kumahan guna kirtana reva krishnasya mukta sangha parambrajet. This age of Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But there's one benediction. Simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can attain the ultimate perfection of liberation. Srila Prabhupada was the embodiment of compassion. And his only request to those who he gave his life to save from the miseries of birth and death was that we be instruments of Krishna's compassion within this world. That is the greatest thing we could do in our life. Be instruments of God's compassion in this world. How? By living an exemplary life, centered in devotion to God, and to induce people by any means possible to cleanse their hearts and realize the essence of life through chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Today in our Rath Yatra ceremony, tens and thousands of people were seeing the beautiful darshan of the Lord. We're seeing the blissful devotees exhibiting true bhakti and hearing the tumultuous sound of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada spent more time here in Bombay preaching than any other part of the entire world, because he considered this the most important place to establish Krishna consciousness. He saw something very special and sacred about the citizens of Bombay. He built the most beautiful temple in our entire society in Juhu Beach and established his own worshipable deities, Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Many times he would speak in Pandal programs just like this. In fact, in 1971, at Cross Maidan, it was my first meeting with my eternal beloved spiritual master. And I remember him speaking, appealing to the devotees, appealing to the residents of Bombay. You could make a serious difference in the civilization of the earth if you just take this Krishna conscious philosophy and this Krishna conscious culture seriously in your lives. Try to understand. Don't waste your lives. At the time of death, if you do not realize your eternal love of God, your human form of life has been a tragic loss. Please take this movement very seriously. It is the movement of compassion. Try to understand Srila Prabhupada's books. Come to our temples and learn how to integrate bhakti, pure devotion to Krishna, in your life. Recently, one of the great celebrities of the world, George Harrison, left this world. He was a musician and a family man. Srila Prabhupada never told him that you have to move into temple, shave your head, and renounce your occupation. Through George Harrison, Srila Prabhupada taught the world the practicality of Krishna consciousness. He told him, you are a musician and you're famous. Use your musical talents, use your fame, use all aspects of your occupation to express your love for Krishna and inspire others to love Krishna. And by Srila Prabhupada's simple instruction to him, he caused millions of people on earth to purify their lives by chanting the holy names. Srila Prabhupada would tell all of you, residents of Bombay, take the name of Krishna. Seek out the association of Krishna's devotees. Make your life perfect. The ultimate treasure is the treasure of prema, pure love. It is within your heart, buried. The holy name uncovers that great treasure. It is the eternal, everlasting wealth that every living being is longing to achieve. Thank you very much. At this time, we would like to invite everyone to perform Harinam Sankirtan. I will show you how Srila Prabhupada taught us the Sankirtan movement. As I am chanting, everyone, please fold your hands like this. This is namaskar. Actually, namaskar means, namas means I bow down to you. We should actually say this with feeling. Now, even if someone we hate, that we want to destroy, we say namaskar. But actually, the humility of that statement is, I bow down to you. It's greeting a respectable person. Krishna is none different than his name. All of his opulences, all of his power, all of his glory, all of his pastimes, his beauty and his charm are within his name. When we chant the holy name, Krishna manifests himself. Therefore, as I am chanting, leading the kirtan with folded hands and great devotion, welcome Krishna, who has descended into his name within the very core of your heart. And as you are chanting, please raise your arms as high as you can raise your arms. Please, everyone, like this. Everyone, please. Raising arms is an act of humility. It is an act of surrender. We're offering our very life to Krishna. Like Draupadi, she held on to her sari with all her strength, but when she saw that this material world and its influences are more powerful than us, she raised her arms and cried out, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And we should chant the holy name with great feeling. Not only for our own deliverance, but the sound of the name can purify the entire environment. There's probably about 6,000 people here tonight. If all of us chant the holy name as loud as we can, it will have a tumultuous effect of purifying the creation. That is compassion.